Often I hear parents, they call or they will see me at the church, here at the church, or even at the office, and share with me their frustration or their agony about their children and their loved ones. Why? Why is it, Pastor, that they don't want to come to church? Why is it that they have rejected about the church, everything about the church and faith? Well, researchers, church leaders, pastors, and many Christians in general have asked and still ask the same question. Why do young people leave the church, and why is it the church failing to attract young people? Many books have been written, reports analyzed, and reasons have been documented and explained. Many solutions have been suggested and implemented, but young people are not responding well, and churches and leaders still ask, why? Well, that's because, I believe, and it's very obvious, and many are saying the same thing now, that modernism has failed. Modernism, or the experiment of modernism, has failed. What modernism, you may ask? Well, the experiment of the easy gospel. The wide way instead of the narrow way. Salvation without repentance of the old way of life. People assume these days, Christians, that when a young person comes to church for a while, automatically that young people or the middle-aged person or the old person, because they come to church, they have become or they will become Christians. But that's not what the truth is. The truth is that there has to be a fundamental inward change and acceptance of our Creator, the living God. Why was this experiment tried? Because churches wanted to fill their pews with people and help their children to remain in the church without upsetting them by talking to them about sin and worldly lifestyles. I've heard it so many times. You hear it too. Well, no, I cannot say that to my son, to my daughter, to my husband, to my wife. They will get upset and leave the church. Well, or get frustrated and reject God. Well, by coming to church, you're not helping them. By bringing them to church, I should say. Or by claiming to be Christians, they're not Christians. What it needs to be done is for them to learn how to recognize God's voice when they are called. But this experiment of cheap, easy believism failed. The divorce rate has skyrocketed among Christians. Many children from Christian families have very little, if any, spirituality or the desire for holy living. They love themselves and the world. This is also true among the young adults and older men and women in our churches. We have become so self-centered. We have become so attached or glued on entertainment and pleasure. At one time, I've said this many times, at one time, people would do anything for money. Today they will do anything and give up even their wealth for pleasure. Pleasure-driven society. Pleasure. You may say, well, what kind of pleasure are you talking about? Anything that satisfies the flesh and makes the mind expand to areas and worlds where we were not designed to go. Immorality, sexuality, drug addictions, alcoholism, all kinds of things are the result of trying to reach out and find more and more and more of pleasure. And churches have not stayed away from that. Even Christian churches today, they have compromised. They have allowed these things to be part of their activities. In Psalm 119, verse 9, we read, a similar question was asked, how can a young man keep his way pure, the psalmist asks. And the answer given is, by living according to your word. That is God's word. Apostle Paul, writing to a young man, said, Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. In the Bible, we have a good example of a young boy brought up to fear God and willing to serve God, who later became a prophet. His name was Samuel, which means the Lord hears or heard of God. He had a God-fearing mother who had started praying for him even before he was conceived, and after he was born, he was dedicated to God and to his service in the temple under Eli the priest. Now, if you read the story of Samuel, you'll see the whole drama, if you wish, of his mother going to the temple year after year, maybe every day, we don't know, and praying to God, saying, God, please give me a child. And prayed and prayed. And one day, the priest, Eliah, who was corrupt, saw her from far praying, and her lips were moving, and yet he could not hear what she was saying. And he thought she was drunk. And he went to her and said, what are you doing? You're drunk early in the morning? And she says, no, sir. I'm praying to God for a child. And he didn't say much. And then when Samuel was born, she brought him as she had promised to God and dedicated him in the temple. Now, she had prayed all the time, for many years maybe. This child was the most precious gift that she had asked God for. And when this child came, she was overwhelmed with joy, and yet she remembered her promise. And she was willing to bring the child and offer him to God. How often are you willing to offer to God not the most precious thing, but something that you like? Maybe your time, maybe money, maybe your talents, use them for God. But here, this lady, this mother, even though she loved this child so much, but she loved God more. He had a God-fearing mother. That is very important for every child, to have God-fearing parents. One night while Samuel was lying down in the temple, God called him, Samuel. And Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli, the priest. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. But again, God called Samuel. And again Samuel went to Eli, and he said, here I am, you called me. Eli the priest said again, I did not call you, go back to bed. This happened for the third time. But this time Eli finally realized that God was calling the boy. So he told Samuel to say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." When God called Samuel again, just like the other time, Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And God spoke through Samuel to Eli about Eli's failure to deal with his family. But let's look at first let's look at Samuel's godly mother. Her faith and dedication, her willingness to give her precious son to God. How many of today's mothers and fathers are willing to give up some of their activities, precious activities as far as they are concerned, like being with the boys, like being with the girls, like going for card games, for like going for bowling, like going here and there, like watching television, like spending time, a lot of time on the computer, on internet, or like taking care of themselves, and the child is growing on his own or her own. And what then can we say? Can we blame God? Can we blame the children? No. It is the fault of the parents, of the society, of the community, of the church, of the pastor, of the elders, that we have not understood, we have not heard the voice of God saying, "This child is a precious gift to you, not only to you to keep, but to offer him to me for my service." And offering did not mean to offer him as a sacrifice somewhere as the pagans did, but to offer him or her to God's service. This mother was willing to do that. She was willing to go to the temple and pray for her son. She was willing, after he was born, to continue going to the temple. We can't, today's churches are full of activities, so busy doing, I'm sorry to put it this way, nothing. Nothing that God is pleased, or very little that pleases God. The beautiful choir, if we had one, would be fine. The beautiful singing is wonderful. The pews are maybe not so comfortable, but everything is fine. But that's not the purpose of the church. The church is a place where children and adults are brought together, gathered together, and are strengthened and are helped. Now, then we look at Samuel's willingness to serve God, and obedience. Although Samuel was working in the temple, he did not yet know the Lord personally. He was there serving God in the temple. Verse 7. Now, I've been reading this story for a long time, and I'm sure you've been reading this story for a long time, and I don't think we spend enough time to realize what was happening here. I believe what was happening was churchianity or religion functioning, and yet missing the point. Why didn't Samuel recognize the voice of God? Because nobody taught him. The priest was very busy with his crooked ways of doing things. His sons were stealing and abusing and raping young girls. And the priest looks at the son and says, "Come on, boys, now, cool it." Instead of throwing them out and going before God to pray for them, he allowed sin to come into the temple, into his family. Corruption. You say, "Well, the same thing is happening today." Yes. That's why I'm saying this. If things had changed completely, I wouldn't be able to say anything this morning because they would have changed. They haven't. This young boy was serving the best he could. And I believe there are many people in our churches today serving the best they can. Or no. They will go and light the candles and clean the pictures and clean the statues and sweep the floors and serve the priest. And in the Protestant churches they will do all kinds of activities. They will sing in the choir. They will write letters and things like that. They will do all this like Samuel was doing. And yet when God called Samuel, he could not recognize his voice. Because the priest had not, he did not sit down with him and say, "You know, Samuel, when you hear God's voice, you'll recognize it." Because, to be honest with you, the problem was not with Samuel. The problem was with the priest who did not recognize God's voice. After the third time, it dawns on him, "Oh my goodness, now I know it is God calling Samuel." But when Samuel was told to expect God to talk to him, he was ready. Our children are not ready because they have not been told what to expect and what is God expecting from them. Our children are dead spiritually most of the time. They are so preoccupied with their little computers, with the big computers, with all kinds of things. And the parents say, at least they are quiet. At least they're not going into the nightclubs. At least they're not stealing. I know, but they are like Samuel, not being able to hear God's voice. You don't have to be a Protestant, Catholic, Greek, Orthodox, or anything to say that God is at work and God calls us and we must be tuned. You know what the problem is? I think our tuner, the radio tuner, is not tuned on the right channel. I believe God is on that channel and we put it there because we don't want to hear Him. Because when we hear Him, there are a lot of things that we have to change. Samuel was willing to serve as a teenager or a young person. We don't know how old he was. And yet he was old enough to serve. When he realized that there is such a thing as God speaking to us, when he realized that God does speak to us, then he went on the right channel, right frequency, and he was used for his glory. Third, Eli's slowness in recognizing God's call and his unwillingness to deal with his family situation, sin, and corruption in the temple by his sons. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas. These guys were so crooked that when the sacrifices would be coming in, the choice pieces of meat that had to be sacrificed, they would take the best part and the rest would sacrifice. Stealing. Well, today is happening, I'm sorry to say. When the monies are pouring into churches, and some churches or some organizations, and I know people won't like to hear this, and yet that's the truth. And this money is not being used for the glory of God, but is being used to buy aeroplanes and fourth building and big limousines and stuff that this money has not come for. Then we remember of Eli's son. Eli also tolerated sexual immorality. Now you say, why are you on the back of certain kind of sexuality or certain kind of sin and you don't look at everything else? That's true. We, the churches or religions, have picked few sins and we emphasize them, we amplify them, and we say, doing this is sinful. If you do that, you are out of the church. And yet, the same person who is condemning that sinner has other sins that are hated by God and are worse than the sinner. It reminds us of the people, of the religious people who brought this woman to be stoned because she was caught in adultery. And they were right. It was the law. The law said that committing adultery was punishable by death. And yet, some of these people were the ones that were sleeping with that woman. And they were such a hypocritical that brought her and wanted her to die, to be stoned. But the law said, not only the woman, but the man also should have been stoned. But Jesus loved her. Jesus looked at her and he could see the heart and the willingness to change. And he looked at them and he saw the corruption, the filth. Today, we face similar situations in our churches and families. While children need teachers and role models, parents and churches leaders are preoccupied with activities and things that prevent them from hearing God's voice, or they don't recognize God's voice. Before I bring this message to you, I have to preach it to me many times. I'll be the biggest hypocrite if I say that I'm not guilty of some things that I shouldn't be thinking or doing in life. But when God calls, He expects us to at least listen. The problem is we turned off God. We only turn on the channel when we come to church. Or at bedtime, just before going to bed, we turn on the CB or whatever transmitter, and we want to say a few things to God. Thank you, Lord, for good night, and we go. That's not how it is. We must hear. The problem is, it becomes a one-way conversation, like a little valve only flows this way and never comes back. There are valves, you know, that will allow one-way flow. That's what our prayers have become like. And let God speak to us. And when He speaks, we must listen. It takes God, parents, and the church to raise the child. And the old saying that it takes a village to raise a child is true, and yet we have forgotten about that. And I would say, to raise this little boy sitting there, or that little boy, it takes parents, it takes God, parents, and the church. The church has let go that responsibility. Parents very often don't have the time, but God has not forgotten the children. And Jesus said, if anyone becomes a stumbling block to one of these little boys or girls, it's better for him to go and drop in the river or commit suicide. Now, God does not advocate suicide, but that's how terrible it is. Children and adults alike need role models and teachers to guide them. God is calling each one of us for service. Do we hear Him? Do we respond to Him? And do we say, here I am, Lord, use me? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we all have sinned and come short of Your glory. If we say that we have not sinned, we'll be calling You a liar. But it is Your blood, Your precious blood, but washes away our sins. And we have come this morning here to ask You, please, to restore our soul and give us Your peace, Your joy. May your cleansing blood purify each one of us and help us to be able to hear your voice when you speak to us. You have not changed. You have not moved away. We have. Have mercy on each one of us and help us. In your blessed name, I pray, amen.